Well, Vlatko, the first thing that comes through your mind once you get named the manager of the U.S. Women's National Team?
What the heck is going on? I don't know. I mean, it was crazy. Everything happened so quick that I still don't think I had a time to really process what had just happened. But I enjoyed the process. I enjoyed the journey, and I enjoy every second I spend on the field with these amazing players or off the field preparing for it.
All right. So obviously, running a women's national team, especially the number one women's national team in the world, is very different than running a club on a daily basis. What have you learned so far?
That first and foremost, we're running the best team in the world. You have to be over-prepared, or if that's even possible, you have to be prepared so much because they're so good, and every little detail matters in order for them to get better from the point where they're at. So that's why we try to be as prepared as possible and help them individually to get better, but also make the team better.
Highly competitive environment, cauldron, you know, whatever word you want to use. In this environment, you coming in as a new coach, are they testing you a little bit? Everybody's maybe getting to know each other now. I know you know a lot of the players from the NWSL, but is there a little bit of a test period with the coach?
I don't know if there's a test period with a coach, but I will 100% agree with you that is ultra competitive environment, and I think that's one of the reasons why this team is so good. They step on the field and they know that it's going to be competition, it's going to be a game, it's going to be intense, and they bring the best out of each other every time when they step on the field.
Is it fair to say that standard was set all the way back maybe in 99, even maybe a little before that, by those players, the Foudies of the world, the Akers, you know, all the legendary names?
It is very safe to say that. I mean, this is a culture that has been developed for years. This goes back 30 years, and it's been maintained, and it's been refined, and it's just got better and better.
All right, we're talking to Vlatko Andonovski. Let's talk about CONCACAF qualifying. Obviously, Tokyo, Olympics coming up. This is a huge thing in women's soccer, just probably right up there with the Women's World Cup. The games you have in Houston here, it's CONCACAF competition. The one thing I've always noted about the U.S. Women's National Team is they don't play down to the competition. Just speak about these games, you know, Haiti, Panama, Costa Rica, how you approach them.
Every team brings a different challenge. They all have qualities, and they'll present different challenges for us. But we go into this game thinking that every game is important. Every game is a must-win game for us, and we're not going to take it any different. We're going to try to be the best every time when we step on the field.
Now, I know you had to make some hard decisions. It's a smaller roster. Tierna Davidson had an ankle injury, but, you know, there's some Women's World Cup winners who aren't here. How tough are those decisions for you stepping in as a new manager?
It's extremely tough because the difference between the players that are not here or didn't make the roster and the one that they made the roster is very small. And sometimes those little things make a big difference in terms of who's going to make it and who's not going to make it. But select the ones that have to be here, so many little things go into it.
I know I've spoken to Jill Ellis about this in the past, and we'll get to her in a second, but the NWSL obviously is making the U.S. Women's Team national manager's job easier, right? I mean, look, we're now pulling great coaches from the league like yourself, Laura Harvey. Is this the future? Is the NWSL ultimately going to be now an even bigger influence on the women's national?
Right. I mean, I agree that NWSL has a lot to do with the success of the national team. We saw that the league came in 2013, and ever since the team won two World Cups, and it's helping a lot with players playing, training first in good environments, training on a daily basis and competing with good players, but also on a weekly basis. They're playing against some of the best players in the world, and that is extremely important for the development of the players and coaches as well.
you've been such a big part of this league. I mean, you would have to say that your coaching career was carved out there. I go back to Starfire when you won your first title with FCKC. Everybody was, who's this guy, Vlatko Andonovski? And then all of a sudden you upset Seattle, you win the title, and everybody wants to know who you are.
I mean, those are good times. 2014 Starfire, amazing final, amazing atmosphere. Obviously, just happy that we came out on top. 2015 was just as good. I mean, we enjoyed 2015 as well. So, yes, I have had a chance to be in the league for 7 years, and I enjoyed it. It helped me grow as a coach. It helped me learn the game and get better as we go.
Now, some people probably don't know, and we're talking of Vlatko Andonovski. You were also coaching an indoor team where you were as a professional, the Kansas City Comets. Could the lines get blurred going from the indoor game to the outdoor game? Was that a tough challenge for you coaching-wise? Because, I mean, indoor soccer is like a completely different sport.
It is a completely different sport, but there are so many elements of the indoor game that I was able to take and implement in the outdoor game. Some of the things that I took into developing the style of play with the teams that I coach, and now with the national team, do have details or elements from the indoor, whether it was breaking down teams in tight areas or small combinations, short passes. Those are all little things that come from the indoor game.
Talking of Vlatko Andonovski, how do you describe yourself as a coach? I always like asking this question to coaches because I'm interested to hear what they say.
How do I describe? Passionate, motivated about the game, prepared, determined, detailed. I don't know.
Yeah, those are good enough things. What about in the modern game now with these athletes you're dealing with? These are world-class athletes. What's the priority? I mean, from the standpoint of the mental side of the game, the player management side of it, because we all hear how important that is nowadays in this kind of professional soccer world.
Right. First and foremost, for this player, I think the most important thing is, and any player that comes into this environment, is to have a certain knowledge and understanding of the game, like to grasp the ins and outs of the game. That's very important. But the mental side of the game is just as important. And I don't want to say for me it's a little bit easier, because this environment, this culture was built on a strong mentality, but it is a little easier because I don't have to spend a lot of time working on that side, because the culture, once you come into this culture, there's no any other way but to be competitive, to be intense, to be committed, to be dedicated to the game.
Growing up in the former Yugoslavia, and we all know what a great soccer country that is, and I know you educated your PR man, Aaron Heifetz, on the fact that Yugoslavia was once called the Brazil of Europe. Yeah. All right, so tell me about what it was like to grow up there, though, and where your first football influences, soccer influences come from.
I mean, I never thought of what growing up there was until I came here and I looked back, and it seems like soccer was a way of life for me. I mean, I grew up with this game. I grew up in a soccer family with my brother playing professionally, with my dad, ex-professional player, my two uncles, professionals, and one of them coached a professional team. So at that point, actually, I just enjoyed being around the game, go to training, go home on the street for hours, play, come back home, talk soccer, watch soccer. But now when I look back, it was a way of life. I mean, it's almost like I didn't have any choice. That was it.
When you got to the U.S. and you came to play professionally here after playing professionally in Macedonia, when you get here, judging the United States, the culture, maybe the lack of soccer culture, was that a bit of a shock to you, and did you have to adjust to that?
Not necessarily a shock. I was just excited that I saw it as an opportunity to make a difference in the community that I was in Kansas City, being able to coach in youth soccer and make a difference and help the game grow. I mean, I want to believe that I had a little bit of an impact in the city or in the community with the growth of the game.
Talking of Vlatko Andonovski, You know, what do you do away from the game? Do you get an opportunity to reboot yourself? Do you do things to try and take yourself away from it, just to kind of reboot yourself sometimes? Because it is such a pressure-filled environment. You live it, you breathe it 24/7.
Yes, I mean, obviously spending time with the family is one thing that I enjoy. I play games with the kids. It's my thing to do in a free time. I love playing chess. Anytime I have a chance, I would play a game or two of chess. Even on an airplane, sometimes when I feel like, okay, it's time for me to relax for a little bit, it's a game of chess. Game of chess always comes in good. Spending time with friends, especially now, they wanna come in. They wanna know what this environment looks like and how is it working in this environment. So we spend time talking. So it's a couple of different things.
Let me take you back to the team. I've read some things about the fact that potentially you want Julie Ertz to play as a center back, extend her career. Are these things that you're looking at very closely now with some of the players that begin to get a little bit older, at some point are going to have to be phased out? Everybody's got a shelf life. So are you looking at things very closely like that to see if you can extend somebody's career?
Yes. I mean, these players are so good that I would like for them to be on this team as long as possible. And if we have to make any tweaks to keep them on this team or to extend their career, I would be happy to do it. I haven't had a chance to really dive into details what this team is going to look like beyond the qualifiers, she believes, or even beyond the Olympics, for that matter. But I'm sure that in between some of these camps, I'll have a chance to get a better feeling for them individually and for the team.
Talking of Latko Andonovsky, two titles with the NWSL FC Kansas City, tremendous times. I want to take you back to Lauren Holliday, because sometimes we forget about her, and I remember that final in Seattle, how outstanding she was. What was it like to coach her? Because at that point, you're kind of beginning your coaching career on that side of it, on the women's side of the game, and you know, here you're managing the superstar who on that day was just brilliant.
Yes, I mean, Lauren Holliday was first amazing person, amazing player to have in the environment, and amazing leader, but and also incredible player. Just having a chance to work with her was amazing. And I've always said, like, these players, when you coach players like Lauren Holliday, or I had a chance to work with Becky Sarber, Megan Rapinoe, Ali Long, and like all these players that are on the national team, when you coach them, I never say coach them. I always say I work with them, because I feel like I learn from them as well. Like, they're so good that you can learn a lot from them if you listen. So Lauren Holliday was one of the players that I had a chance to work with that I feel like I taught her something, but at the same time she was the one that taught me something as well.
And Becky Sauerbrunn?
Becky Sauerbrunn, just as well. I mean, she was a great leader in Kansas City. She still is an incredible player. Obviously, she's doing well on the national team. Happy to reunite with her, and hopefully, like we said earlier, hopefully I can have her on this team for as long as possible. And she's again one of those players that I work with, because I try to teach her, and just as much I try to learn from her.
Talking of Latko Andonovsky, and I'm going to keep it on the NWSL now. I notice that coaches like you, Paul Riley, Laura Harvey, I notice that there's a big investment, not just finite, not just looking at what's in front of you, but looking infinite bigger for the league. And I hear that in some of the quotes that you guys have. You seem to become gatekeepers of the league, because you all know the importance of it surviving and thriving. We know there's different levels of professionalism at certain clubs that has to be overcome in the future. But do you feel protective of that league to make sure that it exists, you and this great band of coaches?
Yes. I mean, we're very proud of the league. I know Paul and Laura and Rory and all the coaches that are in the league. I mean, we feel like we've done a lot for this green, for this league to grow, and for a simple reason is because it helps the players become better players because it grows the game. It grows the women's soccer game in this country. It helps the national team. Ultimately, it's good for everyone, and we're proud of it. And even now that I'm on this side as a national team coach, I've been in contact with all the club coaches, and I want to be there for them, for the league, for the players, and maintain the growth of it.
What's most important for you to see the NWSL continue to accelerate in its growth? What areas do you think, personally, having been right in the middle of it, needs to improve, maybe?
I mean, I think that the now looking back 7 years to where it was and where it is now, the league has made tremendous strides. Just to keep maintaining that and getting better in terms of higher standards, whether it's standards, environments, on the field standards, and coaching standards, travel off the field, like all the standards have to all the barriers have to be pushed a little bit and keep on evolving, keep on improving in every area of the organization.
Talking of Latko Andonovsky, most memorable moment in the NWSL. I know you've had a bunch of them. You've won titles. This year you coached a Reign FC team that had a tremendous amount of injuries and a lot of challenges with people missing. Some say this was your best year of coaching ever. Would you say that?
I mean, it was definitely one of my best years because it brought different side of me. I had to dive a little deeper. I had to figure out a way to win games with less quality. I mean, I don't want to say it was easy with Cheney and Becky and Aarod when we had all those players on the team, but it was a little bit easier. Where now I had to figure out a way or a different way to get a result, and I'm just happy that I did. I mean, I had to think outside of the box and make it happen.
The women's game, the men's game, it's ever-changing all the time. You've seen it, I've seen it, you've seen coaches bypassed that have been limited in growing or maybe changing. What do you do personally to make sure you're keeping up with all the trends in the game and you know, don't get caught in a specific mindset of how the game should look just because this is how Vlatko looks at it?
I mean, first, I'm very open to talk to anybody. I'll talk to players, I'll talk to coaches from other environments, coaches from MLS, from national teams, from Europe, talk to anybody, and I don't take anything personal. I don't have to take their advice or go with what they talk to, but it definitely makes me think. I obviously follow the game very closely, and it's not just one part of the world, because different parts of the world evolve the game in different ways. So definitely follow the game in different parts of the world and read about it and educate myself, whether it's diplomas, licenses, schools, degrees, anything that I can do to help my development, I will do it.
Talking of Latko Andonovsky, a couple more questions here. Two more to go. We're going to let you go. We really thank you for your time.
No problem.
Just talk about the pressure. You're replacing a legendary coach now, and I've been able to get opportunity to speak with Jill Ellis over the years, being in the TV industry, and was wonderful with the media. How much pressure is on you now? Because, look, the expectation is we're winning, we keep winning. There's nothing less than winning.
Right. What Jill did is absolutely incredible. You know, she was hired to win one World Cup, and she came and won two. I mean, that's legendary. You know, I think that's absolutely incredible, and that just put that much more pressure on me. But at the same time, the way I look at it is, even if this team didn't win the World Cups, the pressure was going to be the same. I mean, this team is expected to win every time when they step on the field, and I wouldn't want it any other way. I want to win every time when they step on the field, and I hope I don't sound arrogant, and I don't want to sound arrogant. I actually believe in this team, and I know they believe even more that they're capable of winning every game, and that's going to be our mindset. We will go try to be our best, win every game, regardless of whether it's a scrimmage on when they play in between themselves or World Cup final.
Vlatko, last question. You got Haiti, you got Panama, you got Costa Rica. Can you tell us a little bit about those three teams and kind of the mindset in this short sort of tournament where you're playing three games in a short amount of time here in Houston?
There are some similarities with them, but they all have their own differences. Obviously, they're very quick and very fast when it comes to the front line. They can transition out of it very fast and hurt teams, but they're very good soccer minds. They can move the ball and break you down if you're not organized. So we've worked a lot on being disciplined, organized, and contain them, breaking us down through the middle, and hopefully on the other side we're going to be organized enough to be able to create goal scoring opportunities and score goals.
Are you expecting some of these teams to defend pretty deep against you? Challenge you to break them down?
I mean, historically, some of them do take a lot more conservative approach, and I can see that happening here, but until I step on the field, I mean, until we step on the field, we won't know any different.
This moment in life right now for you, I mean, you're at the pinnacle. You're the coach of the U.S. Women's National Team. It's pretty remarkable. I would assume this is a job you could not turn down, right?
I don't know if anyone would. I mean, it's the greatest job in the world. To coach the two-time back-to-back World Cup champion, I would do whatever it takes to continue the legacy, to continue being the best, and help these players be the best version of themselves.
There's no question you have devoted a lot of your time into the coaching side of things. This is a great hire for U.S. Soccer. I thank you so much for giving us the time, Vlatko.
Thank you very much. Thanks.